Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the two-hour Zero Point Radio show through BBS Radio. I'd like to thank Don and Doug and Seth all at BBS who provide this service to people around the world. It's amazing having such internet access and a worldwide listening audience. So I do not have my guest host on with me today, Jim, who's unavailable today, but will be back with me in 2 weeks. And I do have a guest coming on for the second hour, but I'm going to fill in myself for the first hour. And I have some opening comments, and then I'll open up the lines if anyone would like to call in. I'm going to take about 10, 15 minutes, so if you are interested in calling in, give it a little bit of time. The toll-free number for BBS is 888-815-9756. So, as always, we have a very eventful week again and a very troubled time that we're living in. And I think the worst of all the things going on in the world at the moment is this Gulf oil catastrophe. And the seriousness of this is really one of the most devastating environmental catastrophes that's happened in modern times. And it's so unfortunate that it seems that BP is really obstructing efforts to cope with this oil disaster. And more the media, the mainstream media is being locked down. So people are really not being told the truth about what is occurring. And this week, one of the most interesting things that I'm a frequent listener to Don Nikoloff's show called Evident Footprints, which is on every night through the week, Monday through Friday on BBS at 1 a.m. Eastern Time. And Don's an intuitive researcher and has uncovered some profound information, all of which is suggesting that the Gulf oil disaster is another false flag event, that he's followed the money trail, and you can see the major companies short-selling stocks and positioning themselves ahead of time as if they had foreknowledge of this catastrophe. And Don presented original research to that effect this week. And another thing that's come out, which is most interesting, is that it seems apparently that this live footage being showed on CNN of the Gulf oil volcano is a fraud. That what we're being shown, which is supposed to be television camera down under a mile of ocean, viewing all this oil gushing out of the wellhead, the whole thing is a fraud. And if you go on YouTube and you put in Gulf oil disaster, you'll find several videos where people have footage of this CNN footage that actually shows a door opening in the background behind this supposed volcano, oil volcano, and you see a door open in the background on two occasions. And what really this suggests is the whole thing is being staged within a studio or a warehouse somewhere, and that someone inadvertently opened the back door, and you can see a figure. I've seen two brief exposures of this. You can see a figure opening the door and kind of looking in and then closing the door. So it's seeming that this live footage from CNN is another complete media hoax. It just shows the extent to which our media, the corporate media, is not serving citizens of the world, not only in the United States, but in Canada and around the world. We have a criminal corporate media which helps to stage these events. They do not report the news. Instead, their main role is to deceive citizens as to what's really going on in the world. So that's a very interesting, I'd urge people to go to YouTube and bring up this video of there's several of them, showing where they analyzed what I mentioned about the door opening in the background and other factors about the CNN coverage, all of which suggests that it's a complete hoax. And I think it's comparable to what I think is a hoax of what was perpetrated on 9/11 concerning the issue of whether or not there were airplanes that flew into the buildings. And I think that the video footage of the airplanes flying into the buildings were a complete media hoax, that indeed there were no airplanes, or else perhaps a missile or something else. But I think the footage of the airplanes hitting the building was concocted by the media. And I would urge people to view, again, through YouTube, a series of videos called September Clues. And there's different versions of it. There's a new version that's labeled Part A, B, C, etc. Or there's an older version, which is labeled Part 1, 2, up to 12. So I would encourage people view the September Clues series, which raises so many questions about the media coverage of what happened on 9/11. And some people say sometimes that the media isn't doing their jobs. And I think people misunderstand this situation. Because in a way, I think the media is doing their job. The problem is people don't understand what the job of the media is. The media's job is not to report the news to citizens. The media's job is to cover up and obscure the crimes of the elites who've taken control of our societies. Their job is to undermine serious efforts to expose the criminality of these elites, and the media are essentially forms of propaganda. And the media have been taken over, as they have over the last 50 years, by interests and individuals serving the agenda of these elite groups. Okay, so that is one ongoing, immensely important issue here, is this Gulf oil catastrophe. And it's such a shame for people living along the Gulf Coast, because these people aren't being properly informed. And there's reports that there may be massive evacuation of Gulf states, and that these people in those areas may be exposed to serious threats, not simply from the oil being released, but from the most toxic agent being added to disperse the oil, which is this Corexit, which seems a play on words a bit, Corexit. It sounds like some toxic substance helping to people to exit this world. And this Corexit is being sprayed on the Gulf and posing immensely serious problems with the gases and other toxicants it's releasing. So that's an ongoing, very tragic and serious situation. Okay, so other... Now, people who have followed my shows over the year, I've been on BBS almost 5 years now, and my interest is in mystical and spiritual psychology. And my website's at www.zeropoint.ca, and I'd encourage people to view my website, and I have selections of different books up there which I've written. And my most important book is called The Heart Doctrine. And the basic idea explored in the book is that we in Western society and throughout the world have been intentionally deceived through our scientific and educational community over the past decades as to the true nature of human existence. I argue in this book that the origins of human consciousness have to do with the heart. And this teaching, which I call the heart doctrine, is found in Judaism, Christianity, yogic Vedic teachings, Tibetan Buddhism, Christianity, Secret Doctrine of Blavatsky, Aleister Crowley, and elsewhere, in all these different esoteric teachings. The idea is that an individual's true self, or I, or human consciousness, originates out of the heart. And in the body, consciousness is connected to the circulation of blood in the body. And this viewpoint contrasts with what I call the head doctrine, which is the main dogma in modern science, which is the view that human consciousness is produced by the material brain and that it's centered in the head, and that human life ends with the breakdown, ends with death and the breakdown of neurological activities in the brain. So in my work, what I believe is that we are higher dimensional beings, that we have a God spark or a divine spark, or you could call it a Jiva Atma or a monad, and this element is in a way your key self, and it exists in higher dimensional space, and it has certain spin properties, and the spin properties of that element create bodies surrounding this central element. And so that divine spark is clothed in different bodies, which brings it down out of higher dimensions into the physical dimension. So in a way, we are not our body, our physical body, or our subtle bodies. In mystical teachings, human beings not only have a physical body, but you have an astral body and a mental body. And these are the three lower bodies that clothe or serve as vehicles for that spiritual spark to experience life within the matrix, or the matrix of existence. So this has always been my interest for the last 30 to 40 years, is investigations of human consciousness. And I was persuaded almost 30 years ago that consciousness is not simply produced by the material brain, that we can exist apart from our body, and there is a legitimacy to higher states of consciousness and out-of-body experiences and the like. So I've investigated consciousness for over 30 years, and the results of that has been this book I've produced called The Heart Doctrine. And people can order The Heart Doctrine through Amazon, and there's a link from my site, as well as a number of chapters up on my site from the book. Anyway, coming back, so it was only about 4 years ago that I woke up to the seriousness of the problems of what is being done within our society. 4 or 5 years ago, my youngest son showed me a movie that exposed to me the fraud of 9/11, and it was the movie Loose Change, which I now realize in ways that movie's very misleading and inaccurate, but at least it provided enough evidence that it was immediately obvious that we've been lied to about 9/11. And there's so many questions about 9/11, of course. You know, but one thing that's most obvious is airplanes don't hit 120-story buildings, causing them to fall down in 15 seconds into their own footprint and causing the absolute annihilation of that building, pulverizing all the concrete and so on. This just doesn't happen. And it's hard to believe that people ever accepted this happened. And I think it just shows how much we trust our media. At least it demonstrates to me how much I used to trust the media. I thought the media actually kept people informed and that was their intention. And now I've realized, no, that's not the intention. The media is actually controlled by these groups of psychopaths who have taken over our societies. And there is this movement around the world to bring about a new world order under the control of these groups. So who are these groups? And over the last 4 years, I've made an effort to try to study this issue to understand what's more and more of what's going on in the world. And I think one quote that I like to share is by J. Edgar Hoover, former head of the FBI, who once wrote, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists." And I think that this is exactly what we are up against. That this, there is a conspiracy, and I'm a conspiracy theorist. I would argue that anyone who's not a conspiracy theorist is simply an idiot. That, because history is made of conspiracies. Okay, conspiracy means to conspire, means to breathe together. And that's what criminals and psychopaths do. They meet and conspire together of what they want to accomplish. Like, you can't have the Rockefellers and the Gates and all these people who believe in population reduction, which is part of the New World Order agenda, is part of the UN Agenda 21, and it's espoused by the Club of Rome and other foundations, that there is actually a group of people in the world who want to reduce population. And these people think that they have some kind of moral superiority or some right to life, that they have the authority or whatever to inflict this type of scheme upon humankind. And this network of individuals, we have to ask, well, who are they, and how does this all work? So the past 4 or 5 years, I've been studying these issues, trying to understand this. And prior to that period, I'd never been interested in politics. You know, I trusted our media, I trusted our government. And when one wakes up, in a way, it's quite horrifying. It's horrifying to realize what's been done against humankind. And over time, you learn that all the wars have all been based on lies. World War I, World War II, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Vietnam War, the war in Korea, the current wars in the Middle East. All of these wars are based on lies. You see, these people, they use the media. They stage false flag events to deceive the public so that the public then supports the military to engage in these wars. And the whole time, the wars are based on lies. So who's behind all of these things? What groups of people are possibly so wicked as to hold such intentions for humankind? They, in a way, want to enslave the human race and create this totalitarian state worldwide, a complete surveillance society, depriving people of possessions of their homes and public property, enslaving people more and more in service of these elites. So who are these elites? And over the last month, I've read a few books trying to deepen my knowledge of this, and these are books, I'll mention a few of what I consider the most valuable books. One is by Jim Mars called Rule by Secrecy, and his subtitle, The Hidden History That Connects the Trilateral Commission, the Freemasons, and the Great Pyramids. And then I've read two books that are excellent by Henry Mackow. And Henry Mackow is a Jewish man, Canadian, and he has two books. I would recommend his book, Illuminati, The Cult That Hijacked the World. And what he's trying to expose is who the Illuminati are and how they've essentially hijacked the world. And he goes through the roles of the Illuminati in creating Hitler and financing both sides of the war, the Second World War. They usually finance both sides of the world wars because they make poverty off the death industries. And they've attained wealth and power through wars. And it also serves their population of gaining world control and reducing populations. I'll read some quotations from the Illuminati in a few minutes. Another book by Henry Mackow, which is excellent, is called Cruel Hoax, Feminism and the New World Order. And this is exploring how the New World Order, how they're behind the propagation of pornography in our society, how they've tried to undermine the family, how they've promoted homosexuality and feminism as a way of undermining family values and traditional values. And so this, again, is a cruel hoax. And then the other person who's, I've been reading a lot of David Icke, the David Icke Guide to the Global Conspiracy, The Biggest Secret. And at the moment, I'm reading his newest book called Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More. And David Icke, he's a remarkable researcher. These are massive books, 600-700 page books he has. He's most prolific. And he traces these conspiracies right back into the earliest periods of Sumeria and Babylonian times. And in fact, he actually traces it further back than that in his newest book to Atlantis and Lemuria, or Mu. And he suggests that there were black magicians during those ancient civilizations who rose to power, and that they seeded the New World so that when those continents were submerged, they then continued their bloodlines, and they seeded different parts, seeded the population throughout the world. And he's actually suggesting that these are a reptilian, that these are a reptilian race that interbred with human beings, and in a way they infiltrated or became the aristocrats of different nations. And he through his book, he kind of traces this down through history. One most interesting thing, just to read the caption of one illustration from David Icke's newest book, he says, "The reptilians manipulate humanity from the moon and also have underground bases on Earth and Mars." So, again, this is another approach. David Icke relates the, he doesn't use the term Illuminati so much, but he states that involved in this conspiracy against humankind are the Queen of England, the royalty of England and of Europe, the Rothschilds, the Zionist cabals, the Kabbalistic, black Kabbalistic Zionists. And the main center of power in the world today is in the city of London, which is a separate city-state within the city of London, England. And this is the main headquarters of the international bankers. And this is a city-state that the people who inhabit it and work there don't pay taxes. They're not under the control of the British government and people. So he's saying that there's this group, and this has been perpetrated, this is through the generations, that there have been generations, and this is all tied into various secret societies, and includes elements of Freemasonry, the Jesuits, the Opus Deus, Skull and Bones, these different secret societies. And at the highest level of these secret societies, they're controlled by the same people. So I am reading The Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. See, David Icke is exposing this. He has been for 20 years or so. And now we see more and more people are beginning to wake up. And we see this on shows on BBS and other truth networks, that people are realizing how we've been deceived by the corporate media, and that these groups have actually taken over our educational institutions, book publishing, magazine publishing, they've actually infiltrated every aspect of our society. The police in our societies no longer work for the people, and they no longer follow their oaths of office. Instead, at the highest levels, these police and intelligence communities have become perverted and serve this underlying world elite. This call includes MI6 in England, which is a central one, the Mossad, the RCMP and CSIS in Canada, CIA, all these intelligence networks. See, they no longer serve the people of the world. So David Icke, I'll come back, I'll do a review of his book. I started putting quotations from some of these books up on my website and developing some writing on it, trying to look at who is involved in the new age, the new world. I call it the old world psychiatric disorder, because it's not really new. These people have been around for centuries, and it's not a new world order, because these people thrive on creating disorder, because their idea is order out of chaos. They create chaos in human society, and out of that they bring about their totalitarian policies and regimes and take over the world. As Henry Mackow says, the Illuminati, the cult that hijacked the world. And in a way, this is what has happened. Our world has been hijacked. And these people, especially over the past 50 years, have focused on bringing down the United States of America. Because the independence and wealth of Americans and abundance of America pose the greatest threat. And U.S. Initially did not even want to join the United Nations and surrender their sovereignty. So the Club of Rome, over 50 years ago, under a fellow Count d'Avignon, actually developed a zero-growth policy for the United States, because the United States was being so productive in producing machinery and aluminum and metals and industrial, developing industrial, that they wanted a zero-growth policy in order to undermine the prosperity and abundance of the American people. I heard a beep. Do we have a guest come in? Did we have someone called in?
Yes, this is Ben. I'm actually with Chemtrail Watchers, Facebook group.
Really, Ben, please, thank you for calling in.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad to call. Just wanted to make kind of an observation and see what you thought of it. Now, I don't know if you're aware of Alex Jones' call to listeners to basically record what they see for chemtrails in their area and to submit them for an upcoming movie that he's going to be doing.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Now, what I've noticed from across the country is literally a stopping of all chemtrailing in the last 3.5 to 4 weeks now. And just wondering if you've noticed that also.
I had over the last week to 10 days here in Ottawa, Ontario. Previously to that, we had heavy, heavy chemtrailing. There seem to be gaps a little bit in it.
From all of the people from across the country that I've seen, basically, it was all at once. Everybody started reporting that it basically just stopped out of the blue, and I've noticed that also, and it's a little eerie, I got to say.
One becomes so familiar with it, it's almost rare that you don't, where we have clear skies.
And then to have it for weeks on end is just a little crazy, especially when I've got a group like myself where, you know, it's committed to basically watching it every day, seeing the different forms of chemtrails, and, you know, they kind of take on different forms, I'm sure, with different chemicals that they're using. But, to just be watching it daily and all of a sudden, boom, you know, quite the coincidence that he kind of makes that call and then all of a sudden they all stop. So just wanted to mention that. And
on the line, if you don't mind, Ben.
Sure.
Yeah, I even have a calendar in my home where I rate days on how heavy the chemtrail spraying is. And when they chemtrail in our, my local community, I go around the community telling people, like, we're being sprayed, and I point them out to people. And I encourage people out there across the nation, go out in your community when they're chemtrailing. It's no use going out and telling people that you're being sprayed at periods where there's no spraying. You have to go out on your, in your communities when they're spraying and point them out to people. And point out, you know, you give people some information about this chemtrail spraying. This is absolutely terrible what's being done. And as I understand it, the main ingredients of chemtrails is aluminum and barium, both of which are neurotoxins. And you see an absolute explosion of Alzheimer's among senior population. And in the United States now, there are people as young as 24, 25 years old getting Alzheimer's. My father had Alzheimer's, and he passed away just last week. And at his funeral, it was like almost everybody I knew who attended the funeral had people in their family who have come down with Alzheimer's. And it's also tied into Morgellons, as respiratory problems in children. And I don't think the ingredients of chemtrails are constant because they experiment with us. They can spray areas and see they're learning how to aerosolize different toxic agents. And they actually can experiment on it.
That's what I've noticed is you can definitely tell there are different types on different days. You know, I've been watching this for so long. You can tell at some points they're trying to stop clouds from forming in certain areas, maybe push them off to different areas. And at some days they're spraying agents that seem to bring them in or to expand the clouds. And obviously different looks to the actual chemtrails because you've got some that just expand so quickly and get wispy and start to look like to clouds. And some that just never take that shape and constantly look like just a streak across the sky, checkerboards, all those sorts of things. And after explaining to people over the years, you know, what this is and to watch for it, it's been quite the couple weeks here that I'm getting calls from different people saying, well, what in the world? It's just all stopped. All their explanations of, you know, that this is a normal thing, that planes always do this, well, why isn't it happening now? You know, it's starting to make sense to a lot of people.
Yeah, good. This is so serious. It's massive. See, I regard the people who are doing the chemtrails, these are terrorists. These people should be seized. They're carrying out biological warfare against the people. I mean, it's done in NATO countries. It's mainly in NATO countries. It's Canada, U.S.
You know, that's what I've noticed also. Yeah,
I think it was brought forward under the NATO. And, actually, my guest in the second hour is associated with Clifford Carnicom, who I've been trying to get on my show. I'm sure you're aware of Clifford's work.
Yes, I am.
Were you aware of their aiming to plan an international conference on chemtrails in the fall over the internet?
You know, that's actually how I got turned on to your radio right now is through Calvin Keats.
Calvin's my guest in the second hour today.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah,
he's going to be on in the second hour.
Sure. Well, he's the one that had sent me the link to your show, and I figured I'd just give you a call and see what your thoughts were as far as what seems to be across at least the U.S. right now, certainly a stalling of their program, whatever it entails, because what I'm noticing across the world is that they are still spraying in a lot of other NATO countries. They just seem to have stopped here now in the past 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, that's good news, because I think when they start up again, it'll be more evident to people. But it seems we also need to expose who's behind this and why it's being done, because these people are guilty of very serious crimes against humanity and against the environment.
Oh, that's absolutely the ultimate goal, but just you know, it's been a struggle over the years just to get people to start looking up, just to start opening their minds and understanding that, you know, people may be, you know, doing things that aren't necessarily a positive thing for us. You know, just that thought that people could be doing something like this has been so hard for people to, you know, kind of get over that hump. And,
yeah, it is. It's like, I think, Ben, that normal people are at a disadvantage because they can't imagine anyone so psychopathic and perverted as the people who are behind doing this. Like, most people
right.
can't imagine that. Like, spraying everybody, your children, your pets, your lakes, your gardens, you know.
Well, I'll give you a real quick story. You know, at the beginning of this happening, when I first encountered a chemtrail, I had never heard of them before, and one had gone over my head. And, well, I tell you what, a lot of different things happened over the next few days, a lot of headaches and getting sick and things like that. And so that's why I started researching, because I saw a correlation between this massive cloud, this plane that went straight over my head, and the next, you know, 3-4 days. And, gosh, when I called up a news station right away just to ask them what this was, they immediately did not dismiss it. They said that they had actually known about back in St. Paul about 30 years ago or so. The state had to pay out money because they were actually spraying agents that were giving people cancer, and they had to stop that and pay out. So they said, absolutely, we'll look into this. Now, nothing's ever been done, but, you know, to know that it has happened in the recent past, people got to wake up and know that this might be happening again.
Yeah, it's ongoing. I mean, they may back off chemtrails for a while, but they're advancing on us through all fronts. Like, they're poisoning our food supply more and more, and all these GM foods which are causing cancers and depleting people's nutrition or the minerals and vitamins in the body. I mean, we're being assaulted on all these fronts simultaneously. I do want to ask you, Ben, like, I think another really interesting question is how the chemtrails might also tie into the HAARP programs, because sometimes I notice in the chemtrail clouds, it seems to set up wave fronts.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. I myself tried, you know what, I tried as hard as I could to separate those two things and to say, you know what, there can't be a connection between the two, and I tried to push that out of my brain for a long time, but it was actually one day when a mass amount of chemtrails started coming over my home, and within about 3 to 4 minutes, they had gone from these massive clouds to what looked like they were reverberating, like a subwoofer was just blasting them.
Exactly.
And it broke them into pieces, and it looked as if they were three-dimensional, just a very strange display. I've actually got pictures of those up on my site, but after the 5 minutes was up, it had turned into just the typical, what you'd see is almost like wakes in a lake or something like that. And it almost seemed too obvious and too clear that that's what was happening, is some sort of, you know, waves were hitting it, some sort of energy was blasting
yeah.
the clouds. And so that's what made me realize that there's got to be some sort of connection, or at least it's worth looking into. So.
Yeah, because they can serve multiple purposes, and I think in a way having a lot of aluminum and metal elements in the atmosphere can serve as a reflective mirror so that they could focus beams
the energy sure.
from HAARP onto selected areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Well, what part of the country are you in?
I'm actually in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, wow, and that's good. So you were aware of this upcoming conference in the fall, were you? The Calvin's working at helping to set up, and the Clifford Carnicom is involved, and...
Yeah, I'm actually aware of it, and, you know, I'm hoping it still goes off, and... And that would be fantastic. You know, I watched the online, the conference that they had over there. Where was that, Amsterdam? I forget.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
You mentioned you have a conference.
You have a website, Ben. Can you give that out?
Sure. For anybody that's on Facebook, just go ahead and in your search bar type in Chemtrail Watchers, two separate words, Chemtrail Watchers. And, you know, that's just a bunch of people from around the world, actually, that every time, you know, you get outside, you've got your camera with you, go ahead, snap off some pictures, give us an update. It's been really helpful to not necessarily be such an informative site, but something that people can go to. It's a little bit more creative, you know, gets people involved, seeing what these things are, the different ways that they're laying out the trails, and it's just a neat site. I think everybody's really great on the site and open, and whatever information anyone has, they go ahead and leave it there. So I invite
anybody
to go ahead.
And people can submit photos or videos to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I'll submit some of my own because I take chemtrail photos. It's interesting. Some days, about 2 weeks ago, we had one day here south of Ottawa where the day was perfectly clear. There was not a cloud in the sky. And the chemtrail started early in the morning, and they just chemtrailed across the whole sky. And by the evening, the whole sky was covered with clouds, but it was a perfectly still day. So I think they created the whole cloud cover was completely a chemtrail produced. And then it rained, and I'm sure that was a toxic rain. So I think, as you say, sometimes the chemtrails might disrupt rain, but other or cloud formation, but I think they can create clouding through the chemtrails.
Oh, that's absolutely the case. It seems to be that they're able to, you know, manipulate the weather, and I think that's why they, you know, created that by 2020 owning the weather or something. To that effect, the government made some kind of program that they want to own the weather. So, you know, that's in their plans. You know, that's pretty open, and it seems to be that they're perfecting their craft right now. So,
Ben, today I've been trying to I have been talking a little bit about like the Illuminati and this idea that there is a group of psychopaths behind all these things being done against us. Would you like to share your views? How do you see who's behind? I actually hadn't quite come to what I was going to talk about, which was what's called the Committee of 300. Have you ever heard of that term?
Well, I've heard of the term. I guess I'm not too familiar with that. But, you know, as a longtime Alex Jones listener, I definitely, you know, have my thoughts on how I believe, you know, things happen. I definitely think that anybody that thinks a president is truly in charge is, you know, probably wrong, that he's just a temporary, you know, figurehead. And you know, things are definitely, the bigger things in this world are done by a smaller majority than people have any idea.
Yeah, Alex Jones usually labels them, I think, the international bankers. I think that's how, I think at times he avoids going a little bit into some of the details. Like you hear different people, like some say, oh, it's the Jesuits. And others say, you know, it's the neo-Nazis, you know, because all the Nazis brought into America through Operation Paperclip. Other people say, oh, no, it's the Vatican, it's the Black Pope. And then other people say, no, it's the City of London and the Rothschilds.
You know, and they probably all have their own bits of power is what that is, and some have more than others. But one thing is that a lot of them are more evil than people would ever like to give on, and they're really ruthless and cutthroat and, you know, could give a heck about, you know, people's lives and things like that. So that's what we need to be aware of, is to find who is getting to make decisions and, you know, how much they truly care about the people and the planet and different things like that. So, you know, that's definitely what I'm interested in and, you know, exploring. So this chemtrail thing is really a big deal to me, because this is a right in front of your face, kind of a slap to the face that someone would think that they can get away with something like this, even if it is just straight exhaust and we're completely wrong. Well, guess what? We need to stop putting these planes in the sky the way we're doing then, because they are destroying our blue skies on almost a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to live in a terraformed world where you basically, you know, live in a box? You don't get to see above that layer that they've left there. It's, I don't know.
Yeah. There can be no doubt anymore that these are not ordinary commercial airplanes. Like, I live close to an airport, and I can watch airplanes come in, and most of them have absolutely not even contrails behind them. That really, there's no visible exhaust behind them. Whereas these planes, they never are flying into the airport. They're never, like there's hundreds of miles or 100 miles from where I live to any closest airport. These never are flying towards the airport. They go across the sky, and they seem to turn around and come back, and you can see them turn the chemtrails on and turn them off. Like,
sure, you know, we do get pretty in-depth, and we'll go ahead and check out the flights online. There's a few different websites where you can, as the planes are flying overhead live, you can see what elevation they're at, what the humidity level is, and see if there should even be a persistent trail. And you know what, if it's if the conditions are right, you can prove that they shouldn't be forming the cloud that they're forming. And so that's what we do on the site. There's links to that, and you can definitely check that out.
Yeah, good. Yeah, there was a new Toronto newspaper called the Toronto Street News, and they had pictures of chemtrails splashed over the whole front page of this newspaper in Canada, which is really interesting. And they quoted a major from the Canadian military saying that the military didn't have the capacity, because this is all specialized equipment. I've heard that these planes, they seem to be silver or white colored, and they seem to remove identifying decals and insignias from them. Is that your experience with them?
That's something that I've never done, is I've never tried to get a telephoto lens or anything like that and tried to watch that. You know, I don't live close enough to a commercial airport or a military airport or anything like that to watch them coming down. So I've concentrated solely on, you know, just taking photos. In my job, I actually drive around quite a bit, so I'm able to, you know, see different areas and what they do and just put it into some sort of semi-artistic form. You know, I do like better looking pictures of the chemtrail, something to put up there, something that makes an impact.
Show
people these pictures, sometimes seeing them, it definitely shocks them, and they're like, what in the heck, where'd you find this, where'd you see it? But
what I've heard is that there's a place in Texas where an Israeli company buys up used aircraft and retrofits them and paints them all white or silver, and that these are specialized planes, because I'm sure you've seen pictures of the massive tanks that they hold inside. Have you seen?
Sure. You know what? I've seen on the different websites those planes, and quite frankly, most of the planes that you see online that are outfitted with these are the smaller planes that are actually going up there and doing the cloud seeding. And now that's corporations that are paying for that, and then that's something I don't agree with either, that somebody can, you know, just say, hey, what the heck, I want to pay $10,000, and they're, you know, letting these planes go up and drop a bunch of basically crud into the clouds to get them to drop their load onto, you know, a mountain range or whatever it is. I've heard ski resorts will do this. They'll pay money to have the season clouded so they get some snow on the resorts. But that's what I think those are there for. I think what we're seeing with these chemtrails, that's got to be something much larger. That's got to be from a much larger plane. I mean, they're leaving these trails from one end of the sky to the other, and they are way up in the atmosphere. So,
I understand that one of the main places they fly out of, at least in the northeastern states, is the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. Are you familiar with that, Clem?
I'm not familiar with that, no.
Oh, yeah. I think Dr. Wayne Castles, who studied chemtrails for a long time, and they actually had protests outside of the airport there at one point. To think that there are actually people in the American military that allow this to be done, allow American citizens to be poisoned from the air, and that your military has actually betrayed the people of the United States to this extent. It's shocking. It's like the, I don't know if you heard my opening quote from J. Edgar Hoover, that a person's handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. Like, that's, I think, most people, their attitude around chemtrails. They can't imagine why the government would allow us to be poisoned from the skies. Like, it's so monstrous, you can't imagine it.
And I guess that's why I'm so interested in chemtrails as they sit, because, I mean, how could someone possibly do something like this or allow this to happen? You would think that at the very top level, maybe somebody, the one that is doing this, they have the evil intentions but are passing it on as if it's a positive to whoever's doing it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing sort of like the Nazis did.
Yeah.
And that may be why this is able to happen, is they think it's actually going to protect us from the sun's rays, and they're buying that whole eco aspect of it, where they're trying to create this mirrored layer on our atmosphere to push out or block the rays, the radiation from the sun. But
yeah.
I tell you what, to not know the science, to not know what these little, just minute particles, these basically nanoparticles that they're putting up into the atmosphere, we don't know what's going to happen with that. And that stuff is going to come down.
You know, at
one point, it's going to fall to the ground. And so to think that we're going to save ourselves from the sun with this layer, I mean, without the science being there, somebody's in the wrong. We got to get this stopped. So.
Yeah, they just cover one lie with a new lie. I mean,
and
they try to maintain, what's it, something deny, cope, oh no, what is it, plausible deniability. That's what they, our politicians do. They kind of, well, that's probably just to protect us, you know, from the sun's heat, and then they can claim that as plausible deniability. I mean, I think most people in our governments are blackmailed and controlled by these elites. But I don't know, it's on the hour, Ben, and I invite you to stay on. I think we may have Calvin here, and he can join us. Do you want to hold on, and we'll bring Calvin?
I can hold on for a minute, sure.
Okay, Calvin, are you there by chance? Okay, well, I'll just mention Seth, if you can try to get Calvin on, hopefully he'll be available. And we can just bring him in and continue with chemtrails for a few more minutes. I agree with you, Ben. I think this is like one of the most serious issues that we're facing, because this is poisoning the population. I mean, this causing of Alzheimer's. Do you see Alzheimer's as the major medical effect of the chemtrails? To me, I see that because I'm elderly, like I'm 60, and I see this among so many older people. They all have Alzheimer's.
You know, that's
something I haven't run across personally. Sorry?
It's not something that I've run across personally. You know, I guess maybe it's my age. I'm in my 30s right now, so I guess I'm not thinking about that too much, but I've been aware that there's been claims about that in the Morgellons. And what I look at is I'm really trying to watch the science aspect of it, see who's mm-hmm. looking into actually doing testing. I know that Northern California and even parts of Southern California seem to be the most affected by chemtrails, just from what I've noticed. And they seem to have the highest levels of what people are claiming are in these chemtrails. So it just seems obvious to me that that correlation is there. And so I watch pretty much every day to see more science about it, to be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, even though we've got about all the proof you would ever need, that this is taking place. And then next we need to find who's doing it and why, and take action if we find out it is truly a negative thing, which, you know, it's all the more looking to be, so...
It's so disheartening. It's like our police and intelligence and military no longer serve the people. At the highest levels of these agencies, they allow this to be done in complete violation of all of their oaths of office to serve their country, you know, against enemies foreign and domestic. And then they allow the American citizens to be sprayed from the air with poisons. It's absolutely astonishing to me. the betrayal of the citizens by the police and military and intelligence community. It's so shocking. It's horrifying because you realize the extent of the corruption and how these groups have been able to infiltrate our society and government at these highest levels. Calvin, are you there? Okay, so, I'll let you go, Ben. Thank you for calling in, and
sure.
I'll invite you back. And anytime you want to give call in any show, Ben, to give us any update. And most important issue. And Ben's go to Facebook, Chemtrail Watchers. And
that's
I'll start
correct.
Submitting
ahead,
some of my
there.
Own. I'll put a link up to your site from my own site. And thank
well,
you
I
for calling.
That. All right. We'll talk to you some other time.
Okay. Bye then.
Bye.
Okay. So that's, chemtrails. This is just such an important issue. And it's like there are certain threads. Like if one takes chemtrails and if we could follow this, that could lead to the undoing of the whole fabric of the conspiracy against people. Like, I see the chemtrailing is, firstly, it's totally criminal because this is administration of toxic substances. Like, a person's not, you can't walk down the street. Imagine walking down the street and having insect repellent and spraying it in people's faces and onto children. Okay, you'd immediately be arrested. But if people do this from up in the sky, they get away with it. And there's nowhere you can go. You call, the RCMP don't serve Canadian people anymore. The police services no longer serve the populace. You see, because all these police and intelligence community at the highest levels have become complicit. And they're controlled by the Illuminati, and what I was coming to is what's called the Committee of 300. And this is an astonishing book I've just read lately. It's by a Dr. John Coleman. And Dr. Coleman, I'm going to give out the number for where you can call and buy his books. Because I think they're just so important. This is an American investigator. He's elderly now. He's got a series of books explaining, like, the Committee of 300 and the history of how their involvement in the wars and their rise to power and their agendas. His number is 702-448-55. 3-2, and I would most recommend his book called The Conspirator's Hierarchy, The Committee of 300. John Coleman was on Alex Jones. He's been on twice in the last month or so, and this is just an excellent book. Okay, I think I heard another beep here. Calvin.
Hi, Christopher. How are you?
Hi, Calvin. I don't know if you heard the first hour of the show.
I heard a good portion of it.
We had a friend of yours, Ben, called in.
Yes, I'm glad he called in, actually, because he raised some nice points, and he also raised some awareness and other groups that's on Facebook. So, first of all, thank you, Ben, wherever you are now. Thank you very much for all your work and all that you do. And I think that together, all of us will make a difference in this effort that we're trying to pull off. Christopher, before we go on, I want to give my condolences to you and the loss of your father. I did not realize it, first of all, and my deepest sympathy to you and your family. I know how you feel about family and how you feel about people in general, and I know where your heart is. So I do give my condolences to you.
Yeah, thank you, Calvin. Yeah, my dad lived, he was 91, so he certainly lived very long life. But just to say something about this, just as it brings it up, in ways it was fine for me that my dad passed because my dad had Alzheimer's, and in a way he was no longer himself. But what infuriated me about it is that my father, he was born in Port Arthur, And he enlisted in Canadian military during World War II, and he attended RMC, Royal Military College in Canada, and he actually scored the winning overtime goal against the RMC used to have against West Point, and my father scored the overtime goal in one of their yearly games years ago. And my father went to Europe and was stationed in England during the war, and he came back and served in the military for 20 to 30 years. And now I have two sons in the military. And it's funny, what my father's death brought up to me is, like, in a way, my father, he served his country all those years, and now I see the Canadian military as behaving in an absolutely treasonous way. That they've taken Canada into this war in Afghanistan based on lies and intentionally deceiving the Canadian public about 9/11 events, because the Canadian government knows 9/11 wasn't done by Osama bin Laden. They know it was a fraud. They've taken us into a criminal war, and they're based on deceits with the Canadian public. So it's like, here my father, who was a Christian man, and he served his country for 20 to 30 years, so it in a way, it breaks my heart to see what's become of our country and how the military could so betray the Canadian people, just like the American military leaders betray their own soldiers and their own countrymen. So anyway, I was fine with my dad's passing. He couldn't have faced what's going on in the world. I think it would have been beyond my father's capacity. He used to say, when my dad would see something weird or some criminal thing about people, he'd say, "Oh, he needs to have his head examined." And my dad, if he knew about chemtrails, that's what he would be saying. They have to have their heads examined. So anyway,
I guess each generation has their part to play, right? And today, our part to play is to make other people aware of the atrocities that's going on with us, including the chemtrail issue.
Yeah.
So, and from being a former military member myself, I understand where you're coming from. But I also, as you pointed to, that many of our military, you know, Canadian, American, whatever the case may be, many of them are patriotic in the sense that they feel that they're dutiful in what they do. Unfortunately, most of them are ignorant of what is going on. And I hate to say the word, they're pretty much trained to become automatons. Automatons. Yeah, that's right. And not think for themselves in too many cases. But, you know, of course, I'm pretty sure that there are some high-ranking officials out there that do know what's going on and that they're perpetrating, you know, the crimes against us.
Well, I have a son at the moment who's he is in Afghanistan. And he, at one point, you know, he knows how upset I am about the whole war, because I've been calling for all superior Canadian military to be charged with treason for what they've done. I think it's treasonous that they've engaged us in a criminal war based on public deception. Like, if the Canadian public knew the truth of 9/11 and knew that our government's taken us into this criminal law, intentionally deceiving the public, there would be outrage. And my son in the military, he said at one point, "Oh, Dad, people realize it. They know it now. Like, this information is spreading a lot in the military, but they don't grasp what's behind it. You know, they don't grasp that.
No, exactly. I wish they could correlate, you know, these different world events together. For example, the recent crimes against protesters at the G20 in Toronto. I mean, you know, that was, you know, I was so surprised when I saw that, the various clips and videos of that, you know, compared to what happened in Montebello, that I thought that was long overdue, not overdue, but I think that was long past, and that maybe that sort of thing would have been minimalized. But so I guess
I'm hoping we might talk more about that, not immediately, but I'd like to come back to that in our discussion.
Okay, sure.
Today.
Yeah, I guess we should bring back the focus of the international conference, I guess.
Well, you were making a comment about, well, we were talking about the military, and then you mentioned that, I guess seeing what a police state is being concocted our own society. I guess
that's right. I mean, I wish that they could see the correlation of the events that's going on, that it all ties together, you know, on some level. Whether different groups or the different organizations are actually intimately involved, but there is somebody pulling strings on different fronts, and it affects it all. Canadian, American, you know, generally worldwide. All these things coming together, I think that they're all interlinked. Personally, and I just wish more and more people, and I'm starting to see that actually, that more and more people are waking up and tying these loose ends together. So, and I'm sure that our military people and police forces and other authoritarian persons will see that and do what's right eventually.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's what we need. We need our police and military and the intelligence community. We need these people to start breaking rank. And our politicians. And if that started happening, I could see it as a ripple effect that would propagate around the world. Like, it's hard to imagine if we could ever take our world back from these people. It would open up a real new age to us. These people have retarded human evolution in our society for so many decades.
I'd say even beyond decades. As you spoke earlier about, you know, that the history and the manipulation of humankind has gone back millennia, beyond centuries, so millennia.
Yeah.
And from the evidence that I've gathered, of course, none of it primary, it's all been secondary sources, of course, but quite reputable sources at that. And that, you know, that this has been going on for eons and eons and eons. It's just now it's really been stepping up, and of course it's during our time right now. And fortunately for us, it's at a time that where information is easily gathered. So it's, you know, that's one good positive for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the evidences are there, like the internet and this explosion of new awareness, like this, the truth movement is gaining momentum, and it's a worldwide movement because it's not just Americans or Canadians. It's people around the world have been subject to the same atrocities committed by these groups of people. So there's hope in that.
Yeah, and actually, tying in with that, if you don't mind, with the international conference that I'm trying to head up with Clifford Carnicom and of course many other people, that's what we're heading for. We're trying to lay a platform to allow all members of all societies, of all backgrounds, to come together to share information, to be able to assimilate what we're learning from each other, and to be able to, at some point, form some sort of remedy that we can then take back to the criminals who are doing this to us, and to put a stop to it, and to finally free humanity from the clutches of these maniacal people.
Yeah. Yeah, because if we could get to the root cause of chemtrails, it would lead back to the same people who perpetrated 9/11, the same people who poison our food supplies, the same people who do all these criminal activities, who concoct the wars. Yeah, it's one thread that could lead to the undoing of the fabric of the web that these people have created.
It may very well be so. Christopher, if I may, I just want to mention that conference that we're heading up, that we're shooting for late September anyway. First of all, it will be a webinar-based or web-based. It will not be any physical location as such, because the logistics and, of course, the financing of it, at least this year, it's just not there at this point. So we felt that the format that we should use would be a web-based, so that the different people from the different countries who do not have the financial means to come to a physical location, at least then we can still meet and to share information and so on and so forth. And I also want to point out that particular conference, and currently I have a Facebook page called International Geo-Bioengineering Conference.
Okay, just a second. International
Geo-Bioengineering Conference. And there's a slash between the geo and bio.
Okay.
So that's
a slash, like a dash?
No, a forward slash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, forward slash.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not a hyphen, no.
Yeah, International Geo / Bioengineering
Conference.
Okay, and
anyway, the reason for the name, because originally when I put the name there, it did have chemtrails. And the reason for the change is that it's not just about chemtrails. It's about the HAARP program, it's about ELF, Morgellons, and other related issues that all tie in together of what's going on a worldwide scale that, you know, naturally it does incorporate just chemtrails and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a much broader scope, but all these things are interlinked. And if anybody has ever checked the Clever Chronicom's websites, whether it's the Chronicom Institute itself or www.chronicom.com, Clifford has done a tremendous amount of research and meticulous work, and he has compiled a vast library of information, from periodicals, tests, just so much. There's just so much there on his websites. And, in fact, I recommend, of course, listeners to check that out. But also, I'm currently going to be putting pretty soon when I get back home, because I'm actually away from my home on my computer. But I will be putting on that Facebook page some information that one of the Institute's members had put forward, and that's how to be able to gather some samples on our own, and then we could actually send to have them tested. And then so that way we can then take the results of these tests and present them to our various local authorities.
Right? Wow. That's good. That's good. A question I have, Calvin. Sometimes I notice this materials. It's almost like a spider web material. Do you are you very familiar with this being formed by chemtrails, that it kind of creates these long, I don't know if they're polymer chains of fabric that look like spider webs?
Now I've heard of it mostly in the southern United States. Here in Newfoundland, where I reside, I haven't witnessed it yet. But my friends down in the southern United States have given me reports on that sort of thing. I've had a friend in BC, Canada, who had given me reports that there was a participant from the chemtrails that came down, much like very metallic, very minute, almost like pixie dust. That's how this person described it. And so I think there are various forms, or
yeah,
at least various I don't know what you would call it.
Ingredients,
ingredients, or whatever the case may be, right? So, as you mentioned earlier on the show, there seems to be a different consistency, different chemical properties, and so on and so forth. One other one that I wanted to mention, because you did mention earlier, by the way, about barium and aluminum. Some other member also pointed to me that there's also strontium that has been found in these samples as well.
That's radioactive, isn't it?
Yes,
strontium, is it?
Yeah. From what I was told, yes, I did not look into that myself personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they likely experiment and try to weaponize different, like they could distribute viruses, viral matter. I mean, I've read there's fecal matter in some chemtrails and desecrated blood particles. There are a variety of substances. Are you aware of that?
Yeah,
like people analyzing blood particles?
Yes, that's right. In the samples itself.
See?
You're talking, right?
Well,
you're talking about the blood samples within the samples of the chemtrail dissipants?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard
that. Yeah,
that
they actually, like disease blood particles or droplets are sometimes in chemtrails. Like, I do think they're not always the same, that they try out different substances. I'm sure that they monitor admissions to hospitals in areas. I'm sure that they have a whole way of monitoring hospital admissions to evaluate the effectiveness of their chemtrail programs.
I guess it's possible. That's something I'm not aware of, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't. These sort of programs would be going on.
Yeah,
and again,
I have no evidence of that. I'm just saying I think that would be another interesting avenue to criminally investigate these people.
Yes. Christopher, I'd like to, if I may, I'd like to put in a request for your audience and anybody who wishes to help out in this sort of arena. You know, first of all, to check out the Facebook page, check out Carnicom's websites. And, you know, the biggest problem I'm having right now with organizing this conference is pretty much logistics and volunteers. You know, I do have several keen people who have come forward and to offer their services, but it's not enough. Currently, the Facebook group has over 1,039 members at this point. You know, and to pull all of this together, currently it's just, I think myself and maybe two other people that's really has their hands in this on the logistical level. Mm-hmm. And so if, you know, if anybody has the means or the resources and the time and the willingness to help us, please, please contact me either through Facebook or the, let's see, I can give an email address, chemtrailsconference@yahoo.com.
chemtrailsconference@yahoo.com.
So it's chemtrails. Conference
with
at yahoo.ca, sorry.
Yahoo.ca. Okay, good.
And that's just a temporary one until actually the Carnicom Institute, we're actually securing two websites right now to deal with this bioengineering and geoengineering. And so I don't want to give it those domain names until we have actually secured them, at which point then once we start developing that website, then, you know, of course, naturally we can give out a permanent email address for that. And the links to that. I lost my train of thought. Anyway,
okay. So people, so you're asking, people, please, like we need
help.
People, you need support in this.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, like Van mentioned earlier, there was a conference going on over in Europe, and actually that was in Belgium. The Belgian group did invite Carnicom, but they didn't give much detail on that. The Carnicom Institute did not participate in that particular symposium, if you will. And again, that was physically in Belgium, so not much occurred from this end. Many people did go. There was some good out of it, but I think most of what that was there presented was what most of us already know. The scope of what we're trying to do is, of course, just to share information, but again, then to come up with some sort of legal remedy that we can then take back to the respective governments and to, as an international, and maybe even form an international body that can be recognized and cannot be denied, but then we can go back out then and then start prosecuting, you know, if we have to do that. Or at the very least, to cease and desist, you know, with the chemtrail spraying, with the HEP programs and the more, you know, the more gallons and all the other, and ELF and all the other manipulative programs that's intertwined with this geo-bioengineering that's been going on.
You mentioned ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease.
No, ELF, extra low frequency.
Oh, sorry, ELF, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, ELF. And that tied into chemtrails, that they might use those chemtrails as reflective mirrors for ELF?
That's a one component, yes. Of course, another component of the ELF is that you know, their frequency is apparently being used throughout this world that operate at the same frequencies that our biological functioning does. The Tetra technologies is based on that. Some cell phone usage is based on that sort of frequency and that sort of thing. So again, these are all these different issues that we're trying to pull together, which, of course, incorporate into the whole of the geo and the bioengineering aspect of what we're looking at. Of course, again, that does include chemtrails, or for another word, for those who don't like the chemtrail terminology, aerial spraying. Because, of course, there's in some circles, the chemtrails has a negative connotation with it.
Yeah, I like the word, but I can
understand. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I wonder, you live in a relatively isolated place out in Newfoundland. Do you get many chemtrails out there?
Actually, yes. I wouldn't say that isolated, but it is rural. I'll tell you, most of what I do see, actually, it's pretty much equal, actually, because where I live is right on the east coast of Newfoundland. So I see what planes go to Europe and what planes come from Europe. And
oh, yeah.
I will tell you a pattern that I do see, is that when chemtrails are sprayed, and like Ben and yourself are saying, they have diminished somewhat of late. But in any case, what I do notice is that the pattern is this. When the planes are not near a populated area, there is no spraying. Once they approach and fly over a populated area, it starts again. In fact,
they turn it on. Yeah,
yeah. I've seen pictures where you'll see this, almost like dashes, like, you know, on a roadway, right? You know, with the, like when you're passing a vehicle, you have dash, your yellow lines, right? It's the same sort of thing. And how ridiculous is it for the authorities? And even like, you know, for example, the weather network. So you say that, you know, this is normal. Because, I mean, if it was normal, why would there be breaks in between? That's obviously patterned. That's obviously an intellectual stoppage and continuance of spraying. Weather does not have an intellectual thought process of saying, okay, I think I'll stop, the contrails from forming. No. Okay, let's start again now that we're overpopulated. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It was funny. I was watching the Weather Network the other day, and they were showing different types of cloud structures, and they showed one which they called cirrus clouds, but I could tell they were chemtrail clouds. See, I think they're actually trying to persuade people that certain clouds, if you observe chemtrails, you really learn about it. You see the kinds of what types of clouds that they form. And how unnatural they are. And they actually were showing chemtrail clouds and calling them Sirius, trying to present them as though they were a natural phenomena. This is on the weather station.
Now that's actually very confusing because, I mean, what most people, when we see chemtrails, we see this, it's very similar to contrails, the major difference is that contrails would disappear between 45 seconds and maybe a minute and a half at best. But chemtrails, what most of us see, it's similar to that, except that it spreads and it lingers and it's just really thick. That's one kind. And the other kind is very similar to the cirrus cloud that you mentioned. Because, the cirrus cloud, does have a wispy, almost ghost-like, presence to it of sorts. But, there are other people who believe, and I seem to fit in that side, that some of the chemtrails do seem to have that same sort of characteristic to it, has this wispy sort of look to it. So
yeah.
I think that it's possible to confuse the two.
Yeah. I mean, what I see is like the chemtrails are sprayed in these very solid lines, but then the wind currents, like they dissipate and the wind currents form them into clouds.
So
a half hour after a plane gives you a clearly defined chemtrail, a half hour later, that will be kind of loosely dispersed and will be beginning to form these wispy cloud-like structures. And then they do enough of them that they accumulate. And we had one day here, I was saying earlier in the radio show, where we started out, it was a perfectly still day with a perfectly clear sky. The spraying started in the morning, and by the end of the day, there was a whole cloud structure. The whole sky was obscured and having that kind of grayish color and silvery color in the sky. And you couldn't tell by the end of the day that it was chemtrail spraying. But the whole thing, I'd watched it all day long, and I could see it. The whole thing had been formed through these chemtrails.
Yeah, I've seen many pictures of that. Many friends have sent pictures to me personally or, through the Facebook group. So I've seen many of that. Now, I haven't seen as much here. Of course, in rural Newfoundland, there's much less aerial traffic. But I still have seen some sort of, same sort of description as you gave, but of course on a lesser degree. Christopher, I want to make a point that before I forget, I tried to mention a couple times, that it was mentioned that, of course, in the last few weeks, the chemtrails seem to have been dying down. I want to point out that although that seems positive, that I mentioned that, and actually, remember Max Higgin? He was a former guest of yours.
Yes.
Max and I had been speaking to Clifford about, maybe a little over a month ago, I guess, together. And we mentioned that, it seemed to be dying down. Maybe it's a good thing, that this sort of thing is finally going to stop. But Clifford pointed out that in his well over a decade research of this, is that there has been moments, maybe even months, where the chemtrails were pretty much non-existent. But let it be assured that guarantee it will resume again. And he and his team have witnessed this over and over and over and over again, well over a decade. So it's a recurring thing. It's not something new. It's not something that we, at this point, just get all excited about and think, fine, it's going to stop, because I don't think it is.
Yeah. No, I don't either. I mean, it is a relief sometimes to go out and actually have a clear day. I mean, like here today in south of Ottawa, it's beautifully clear day. We can't count on that. Plus, these people need to be charged for these crimes that they've committed against people. Like, they've been spreading illness. You just think of, we really don't know how many people have been adversely affected in terms of their health over the last decades through this spraying.
Well, and there are no long-term studies either. Of course, we hear the rising instances of asthma and Alzheimer's and these sort of things. And that's at the acute level. I mean, again, this heavily chemtrail spraying and other related issues have really only been going on in the last maybe 15 years or so. And what are the long-term repercussions from this? We don't know, right? At least at this point.
Yeah. And we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know all the other substances in these chemtrails. Like, some people talk about nanotechnology and how they could be spraying us with substances that actually self-assemble within the body.
Oh, that's weird.
Have you heard about that? Have you heard of that?
I've heard a theory on that. I did not see any papers or anything as such, but I have heard about it. And to be honest, I heard it in passing from another conversation, and I forgot about it, to be honest. I think you just mentioned it.
Yeah. I sent you, Calvin, I sent you a copy of my book a few weeks ago. You got that, I hear.
Yeah, thank you so much. I just started, actually, and already I'm enthralled. I have a bad habit of reading about 5 or 6 books at the same time. And,
me too.
I'll put one down, I'll put one down and, try to take a break, and then I'll look over and I'll see another one and go, wow, okay, I've got to pick this one up. I'm horrible at that. I'm one of those people who maybe sleep like 2-3 hours a night, and that's why, So.
Okay. Well, we need tireless researchers out there, Calvin. So we're pleased to have you in our ranks. I also sent you a copy of the Toronto Street News. Wasn't that an amazing article or version they had with the pictures of the chemtrails all over the front cover?
Yes, it was, actually. I passed it on to a few friends of mine. There's a friend of mine here in Newfoundland has a cafe called the Chestnut Tree Cafe, based on Orwell's 1984 novel. And anyway, so I passed off to him, and he's been showing people all the time who come in, right? And in fact, we just subscribed to Victor's newspaper there. So I'm looking forward to getting a regular subscription from that. So thank you very much. I wasn't even aware of that paper, so thank you so much for sending that.
Excellent paper. Eh? I was shocked to see that. And they said even in there, he talked about like how he mentioned people organizing together to file civil lawsuits against the government for this, against this spraying. I wanted to contact that fellow and try to support such a venture.
Yeah, actually, I spoke with Victor, and that's the publisher / editor. I think he's the editor as well. We're pretty much on the same page with that, and I think that we're going to, I'm hoping that we're going to form some sort of a partnership, and I invited him to join this conference as well.
Oh, excellent.
I'm also soliciting and sending out invitations to politicians as well. I've got some my own members here, provincially and federally, that I've invited. One of whom, by the way, I think you and I have talked with him before, Christopher or Scott Sims. He's my MP for this area. And he and I were supposed to meet on several issues before, including the SPPE and, of course, the the geoengineering, so on and so forth. And, every time when it comes to a meeting, he always cancels our appointment. So I don't know if it's truly legitimate in all cases, but I'm starting to get suspicious that they don't really want to meet with us, with me, on some of these issues. But anyway, so I have sent out invitations to people like politicians, some doctors. I've been, had some celebrities I've invited. Some other ones I'm actually really trying to invite. So, Christopher, again, for those who may be listening, if anybody knows Joni Mitchell, I'm really trying to contact her and get a hold of her. She's the Canadian musician, and apparently she has contracted Morgellons herself.
Oh.
Have you heard of that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reach her
because I would love to have her on board as well.
Calvin, could you describe a bit the symptoms of Morgellons? Like, is this where you have kind of a breakdown in the skin and it kind of forms this fibrous, there's these kind of fibrous elements in it?
Yeah, from my understanding of it, and again, I'm not a primary researcher in this, and I've only done secondary research, but what I have gathered from it is that sufferers of the symptom or syndrome have what appear to be at the beginning lesions on their skin or various spots and without any obvious cause. And on a microscopic level, or even a really high-powered magnifying glass, one can see fibrous material protruding from inside of the skin. And this, of course, spreads, and the fibers themselves have no recognizable chemical they can't seem to identify the chemical quality of it anyway. It's unidentifiable at this point. Also, I've also read a paper where some studies have taken these fibers and have noticed that the fiber, when it's been in contact with something else for a period of time, some other material, no matter what it is, on an organic level, it seems to assimilate the material itself. Let's just say, you put on cotton as an example.
Mm-hmm.
After a period of time, the cotton turns into the same fibrous material. That's one other paper that I read.
Wow.
I don't know how valid that paper is, but that's what I've been getting diving into. And these lesions and these outbreaks don't let up. They seem to fester and spread, and these poor people just have to live with it. And unfortunately, many of them live under great ridicule and disbelief, even from the medical community as a whole. Of course, there are some doctors out there who do back them up. A new doctor friend of mine who I met recently by the name of Lorraine Hurley, she seems to be on side, of those who suffer from this. And of course, a few other doctors that I've met in England and some other places around the world also support, sufferers of Morgellons. There's also another celebrity too, Christopher. I forget his last name. Billy. He was with, I think, Cincinnati. Saw a baseball team anyway. I don't know if you recognize the name.
No.
I'll research it again because I'm not at my computer. So
who also came down with Morgellons? Were you saying about Billy?
Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are more and more people out there and more celebrities that also find this. Interesting enough, one major celebrity that is really on our side with chemtrails is the artist that we all know as Prince.
Oh, really?
Really, yeah.
Wow.
And I've been trying to track that guy down, and I can't even track down his publicist or anything like that. So, I'm hoping that my friends to the south or wherever they are in the world, if they have some contacts or links with him, please, by all means, get him in contact with me. I'd love to have him on our side, and it would definitely help our cause.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, so do you have an actual date set for the fall conference, or is that still you're looking at dates?
No, we're still looking at dates, again, because of the fact that logistically This is a really monumental task that that you know, by myself and you know, with the aid of these two other people that are really on my side, that we can't really give a definitive date at this point. But you know, we're looking at September, right? Mid-September, late September.
Yeah.
In that area. Again, we need help. Absolutely. And so for those who can or are willing, please come forward. We really need you, and the world needs you.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, I'm slipping my mind what I was going to ask you next. Goodness.
That's hard. I'm not thinking well either. It's like 38 degrees here where I am right now.
And oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. It's very intense weather across the whole of eastern North America the last weeks. I guess are people in Newfoundland talking at all about the fear of the oil coming up onto the coast there through the Gulf of Mexico volcano, oil volcano?
Not so much as a landfall as such, but you know, of course, there are groups who are concerned. I mean, I think eventually, unless it's totally cleaned up, that it will make its way up the eastern seaboard into Newfoundland, because I mean that is where the Gulf of Mexico current does flow. But I, thankfully, there's more of a push and more of a awareness of our own, because as you know, Newfoundland is an oil-rich province as well, and we do a lot of offshore drilling ourselves. And so there are groups, and there's even a political party, the NDP here on a provincial level, who's taking great caution into developing this. So I'm glad that you know that they're actually taking some positive out of this, you know, very tragic event, and you know, and basically trying to step back and reevaluate what's going on, and is it, you know, considering, is it really worth it or not? Personally, I don't think so, because I know that there's technology there that we don't really need to rely on fossil fuels as an energy source.
Yeah,
but.
I don't know, Calvin, did you hear in the first part of the show I was saying the evidence is coming out that, have you ever seen the CNN video of the oil gusher under the ocean?
Is that the link you sent me recently?
Oh, yeah, I sent that to you yesterday, didn't I? Yeah, which shows the CNN live video of this oil gusher, and then it shows a door opening in the background.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
I know. CNN, the most trusted name in news, that's how they sell themselves. If people just realize, like, wake up, people, this is a hoax. You know, we're being deceived again. Like, we really don't know what's going on in the Gulf. And this is such a catastrophe, absolutely terrible.
You know, Christopher, you speak of the oil spill and whatnot. I heard on CBC Radio, maybe about 2 weeks ago, actually, this gentleman from, Nigeria. And he spoke about how these sort of events happen much more frequently in the African continent than is never ever brought up. And it gets hidden away because, of course, the oil cartels and all the vested interests basically pay off their corrupt officials, and all the stories never reach the mass media of the West. And I found it interesting that this happens much more prevalent and much more frequently than what is known. I mean, of course, here in the Gulf, it became worldwide knowledge because of the fact that, you know, we live in a media rich society, on some degrees, unfortunately. But at least in this case, you know, it was brought to the forefront. But this sort of thing goes on much more than what we realize, and it gets hidden by the corrupt people.
Yeah, actually, I had heard reports like that, even though I tend to think this is of a scale that really is of a much more serious scale, and that there may even be fractures in the ocean floor that this is uncontrollable, but I mean, hopefully not, and we'll see over time. I'm sure you've heard the reports of this Corexit poison that they're putting on as dispersant, and how it kind of breaks down and causes the methane to be released from the oil, and it releases methane, and we could have really some terrible catastrophe in the Gulf if
I've heard about that, and I don't know what to think, because it seems like they throw another ridiculous so-called solution upon an already drastic situation that's going to me, it's just going to exasperate what's going on, and what other repercussions are we going to get from that? And then are they then going to need something else that's also toxic to try to clean that up? And so on, you know, and then the event's going to snowball, you know what I mean? And then it's going to branch off all these other different areas.
Yeah.
So I honestly don't know what to think of it, except the fact that, you know, we have finally gone too far. I mean, come on, society, let's please finally wake up. Stop gathering your trinkets of society. Stop worrying about daily living and about making money and about, you know, the trivial things that really don't matter. And let's start waking up and realizing that we're all part of the same community, and that's called the planet. You know, we all are interlinked on some level, you know, as human beings, as creatures, and biological creatures of this planet itself. And, you know, come on, it's about time. We've got to start pulling together. I mean, whether we live or not, we're a family. And, you know, we have to look at each other in that capacity.
Yeah, it's time for, I call it being upright of heart, because from my mystical studies, you see the heart chakra is the central chakra, and you have three below it. And it said people who are dominated by the lower three chakras, they're driven by money, sex, and power. And it's like the whole of contemporary culture is like money, sex, and power. And it's not till you get that to the level of the awakening of the heart that you begin to have feeling for fellow citizens and your planet. Like, if you can't feel love or compassion in your heart, then in a way you are nothing. You're of this lower degenerate type. And I think that's what's happened. I see these elites, in a way, they talk about, like, the evolution of humankind, but really they've attempted to prevent the evolution of the human race. Because you see from my writings, you see, I believe the awakening of the heart then awakens us to our higher potential. But in a way, they've tried to prevent that. And these people, in a way, they sell their souls. So I actually think their hearts are possessed by higher dimensional beings that act through hyperspace dimensions. They actually sell their souls to the devil, in a way. And then they're soulless creatures. And there are many people, their minions, who haven't yet lost their souls and who could still recover from their involvement. Because I think a lot of people become involved in all this corruption, but they really have no idea of what they're getting into when it starts. And then they get in, and then they're too fearful of speaking the truth or turning.
Yeah, you know, Fear is an incredible tool used by those who would usurp everyone, basically. And it's so easy to turn from it. All you have to do is just not care about what happens to you anymore, really. Because eventually we're all going to die.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to die in some way, whether it's by an accident or natural causes or whatever the case may be. We are all going to die. So what is the fear about it? It's a part of life. And who knows? Maybe there's more afterward. I tend to, you know, to follow in that trend of thinking. But in any case, whether it's true or not, we have to do what is right. Because, and again, see, and this is the same sort of thing that's been going on, like, you know, with events like G20, you know, with police brutality and so on and so forth, is the fact that we don't realize that we're all people. And eventually, the same sort of treatment is going to come down on each and every one of us, whether we're a police member or a member of the military or a politician or not. You know, had the regime of the Nazi regime been allowed to carry on, eventually, I think that, you know, it would eventually turn on its own people, you know, and imploded. And I see that sort of thing going on over and over and over again, and all because of fear. People just let go of the fear. They will become brave, and they will stand up and do what's right. And once you do what's right, it all falls apart.
Yeah.
You know? Simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, you know, David Icke has a new book, and the title of it is Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More. And the whole theme is like humanity is waking up to what's like get off our knees, like not sink into the fear and intimidation. Like we need to rise up around the world and not into violence, but you know, to caring for our fellow citizens and bringing forth truth and demanding justice in our societies. But we as a human race, we got to get off our knees and people upright of heart and not sink into the fear. You know, the word courage, Calvin, actually comes from French, from la cour, meaning heart. So having courage really means having a new heart. And that's what, like, people got to overcome their selfishness and their engagement in titillation and men playing game with balls and all these things that people are obsessed with. And like wake up and stand up for their children and their country and the environment and the human race. Like I really see us as being in end times, and I think we're in the balance at this time. But I think our forces around the world are coming together. That there is a global awakening. And
boy, I truly believe that. You know, even from my involvement on Facebook, you know, I've met a lot of interesting people. But what's more exciting is that through all this darkness that we see going on around us, you know, from the different issues, that there is more of awakening and it seems to be quickening. And I've met and made some interesting friends and, you know, like yourself, Max Egan, Clifford Carcom, Jose Escamillas, Richard Hoagland, so many other people, you know, And the everyday people that are coming on board and waking up, it's actually exciting. And I'll tell you the truth, Christopher, I'm very optimistic. I really am. Despite all the pessimistic things that seem to be going on around us, which brings in our frequency level to a lower state of vibration, that I do see a positive thing coming out of all this. That, you know, I truly am excited. I'm not fearful at all of our futures. I really am not.
Yeah,
I think that, yes, we are going to go through some tough times. We are going to go through some trials and tribulations. But I do see us breaking out of this on top. I really do.
Yeah. Yes, it's funny. When I woke up to it all about 4 years ago, I had this, my experience, I felt I was enlightened and I experienced these higher states of consciousness and such. And what I felt was revealed to me is by the year 2012, that's what 2012 is all about. By that year, these people are going to be they'll be imprisoned and that they'll have to face their crimes that they perpetrated, and that we will take the earth back. And so I see, you know, we're going to have tough times over the next period, but I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. So it is an exciting time to be alive, and we do need to, they say, what benefits is a man to gain the world but to lose your soul? And I see the people the psychopaths who are behind all of these things, in a way they lose their souls, and in a way they're pitiful. In a way they're pitiful. They're not some, like they call them the elites, like, you know, since when did psychopaths become elites? You know, they're not elite. You know, the woman who cares and loves her children, she's elite. You know, she's beyond these people.
Beautifully said. And I would tend to agree that the common person who cares for each other and everything else, that's the elite.
Yeah.
That's the ones who love and who care, you know, basically care about everything and everyone, that's the elite.
Yeah,
and the so-called elite. I mean, their time is coming. I truly believe that, it's only a matter of time before there's going to become a critical mass of people who are aware, and then you're just not going to be able to stop it.
Yeah,
and then it's going to be a force to be reckoned with, on a good way, you know, in a good way, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah,
some of the other things I would love to talk about and go on and on and on, but, you know, it's almost like your show is not quite long enough, Christopher, and I wish it was a little longer.
Yeah, we are coming down to the end time here. So we just give out, once again, we got a minute or so here. Thank you. This is Calvin Keats. And Calvin, you encourage people to go to Facebook. And could you give the site on Facebook? Chemtrail Watchers.
Oh, no, that would be Ben's.
Oh, okay, sorry. Oh, yeah, yours was Geobioengineering Conference.
Yeah, it's the International Geo/Bioengineering Conference. That's the group. And I'm actually Clifford and the Institute actually invited me to become a part of the Institute, so I'm also now very honorably a part of the Institute on an affiliated, associated basis. And that's the Conicom Institute, and you can Google that. Or you can also check out his other website at www.carnicom.com. That's CARNICOM.com.
I noticed some very good series of pictures up on his website showing what I was saying earlier about the chemtrails forming into cloud structures. He has a very good series of photographs demonstrating that. So I would encourage people to visit that website. Calvin, I do keep open the invitation for you to come back, and if you can get Clifford to come back with you someday, I'd be most honored to have you both together on the show.
Thank you so much, Clifford. Christopher, you know, we all do our part, and hopefully, you know, we'll come together much sooner than what we hope. And, you know, I look forward to seeing you, by the way, when you do come down this way.
Yeah, I hope I can get out and visit your way. It would be a thrill. Okay,
great.
Thanks. Thanks, great. Calvin.
Take care, guys. Take care, Seth, and I'll catch you guys later. God bless.
Okay, yeah. And this is Christopher Holmes, and this has been the Zero Point Show. My website is www.zeropoint.ca. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. I encourage people, listen to Don Nikoloff's Evident Footprints, an amazing BBS show on nightly through the weeks. I'll be back on Don's show on the 20th of this month. Thank you all. Let's keep, become upright of heart, have courage, and human race, get off your knees. Let's get off our knees and take back our world. Okay, thank you all. Goodbye.